Hey, 11s, Queen Cooley here. How are you guys? I wanted to make a quick video for you. I actually, this was by request. I wasn't planning on doing it. And one of the women that watches this channel had reached out and, she had said that she was just curious and wanted to know, what if I didn't get into numerology and I knew I wasn't 11? How would everything be different for me? And how did I get into numerology and how has it changed my life? And it's just thought it might be helpful for you if I gave you all a little bit more insight about me because I have a lot of life lessons and it's really about we're all connected. And so, if I could help you in any way with some of the things that I went through, that's why I do what I do, right? So, this is really, I'm not sure I'm going to title this Born Different or Born Gifted, but this is for all of you 11s. Let me start out by saying that when I talk about my life, it's just there to help you because this channel's for you, not for me. And this is, I've said this before. I don't know if you guys know this, but I mean, I am not a numerologist. I'm not. In fact, I know very little about numerology. I literally love to read, like most 11s, we're always looking for information, right? I was on the internet one day and I had done I think I'd purchased like a reading for my sign. Astrology wise. And then I had seen something like a numerology and I was like, hey, let me check this out. And then I realized I was an 11. And then I realized when I started reading about numerology, I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly me. Like, how could they get any closer? How does this happen? So I'm not a numerologist, but literally because of my gifts, I'm able to dive in deeply as you guys are and see things in others. And so the numerology part of it came into play because I did research on it and I still do research on it, but I, pulled all of the numbers and started just printing them off and looked at the positives and the negatives, if you will, and kind of what makes us tick. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so important, So they're just characteristics. But to answer your question, I am not a numerologist, really not. And I think it's just because I like to explain it, I like to talk about it, but it's not my be all and end all, if you will. So I thought if I gave you a little bit of information about my personal life, it might help you guys moving forward because, as I said, we're all connected. So, I was born a high intuitive. I was different from the beginning. And I was someone who never fit in. I still don't. Never fit in anywhere, nowhere. So, I was able to speak with animals starting at 5. And I've always loved animals more than humans. For if any of you guys like animals, you know what I'm talking about. No explanation needed. So I was high intuitive, very empathic, very sensitive. You could take me to a movie and like I've said before in other videos, like somebody else would see it and they wouldn't even feel anything. And then I would have to leave the movie theater because I'd be crying or sick. So I have to be very careful about what I watch. And I have been my entire life this way. It's really important. If you guys are not doing that yet, you need to start doing that to protect yourself. So, kind of that's how I started. So, when I say empathic, compassionate, off the charts. If an animal or a human was in pain, I could actually feel people's pain and animals' pain physically. And that affected me a lot. So, one of the life lessons that I had was that my parents, my father especially, brought us up differently. So I do have some Native American in me and my heritage. And my father lived by, I call it like a code of honor. So it was all about doing the right thing, even if it hurts. Don't hurt anybody. Protect life. Take care of animals. Take care of the land. So we used to do a lot of things that nobody else would do. Like we had what we would call Indian walks, where we would wrap ourselves in, just a throw or something that you put on your bed, like a blanket, Indian blanket, we call it, and walk, you know, the three of us, my sister and my dad and I would walk around the neighborhood, or we had land. So we'd walk around the land, and it was all about getting to know the land, putting your hands in the dirt, respecting the trees, all that stuff. As he was teaching us, we are one, we are all connected. We are community, whether it's a tree or a deer or a dog or a person, we're all connected. So he really brought us up with a code of honor. And I remember, and he said it to me all my life. He said, you know, we're doing things differently. Like the three of us would go down the road. We lived on a really small dead end road, and we'd all link arms and we'd start kind of, you know, dancing and singing together. And he would say, you know, nobody's doing this. People are going to look at us like we're crazy, and you need to know that. But he said, this is just who we are. And I didn't realize it at the time, but what he was doing was helping me for the future by letting me know that it's okay to be different and that people won't understand you. And people fear big time what they don't understand. So that's kind of how I started growing up, with that kind of code. But what happened, one of the biggest things that happened in my life was that we moved around a lot. I moved six schools in 6 years. And that included an overseas stint. We lived in England for a year. So it was a lot of moving from my parents' jobs. Not so much in the United States, but it was for me moving schools. But we did spend a year in England, Wales, Scotland. So what happened was, every time I moved and had to change schools, I'm starting out as the new kid. No one knows me. I got to start fresh, right? All over again, which sucks. But then after a year, you start making friends, you start to talk to people. And then I would get up to this place where it's like, oh my gosh, I finally have some friends now. Things are going great. And then it's like, boom, the rug's pulled out from underneath me and we're going somewhere else. I have to go to another school, start all over again, work my way up. So six schools in 6 years, seven schools in 7 years, including a stint where I am not Catholic. So I did go to a Catholic school for a year, which was hell for me. They really targeted me because I wasn't Catholic. And I said, living overseas. So that was really hard. So I really would always get used to, about this time, the rug's going to be pulled out from underneath me again. And so I never fit in. You guys are the same. You probably felt this all your lives. That led to trust issues with humans, especially the normies. No offense. And then that led to, you know, trusting myself or not trusting myself. Basically, I made some notes. I learned how to shut myself down and shut myself off, meaning my gifts off, because I needed to fit in. I needed someone to talk to, you know, at 14, 15, 16, really tough years. Nobody ever wants to go back to that. So I learned really quickly how to survive and how to morph, if you will. And I got really good at being able to go into any group of friends or talk to anybody, and I could mimic them. I could pick up their characteristics, the way they spoke, what they said, what they did, and I would put a mask on to be accepted, right? Because I knew from past experiences that me, all of me, wasn't enough ever. clearly wasn't enough. That's why I didn't fit in, right? That's the way your mind works. So it was a struggle. So I got really good at putting my mask on to fit in. And I even did it in my professional life for many years because I was in sales and that's what I needed to do. So if I went in and spoke to someone, they, you know, spoke really fast, they're high energy, that's how I would be. I was basically a mirror for people, because when you do that and they don't know you're doing it, they like you because you're just like them. So if they talk fast, you talk fast. If they talk really slow and think about things and take deep breaths, and I do the same, they're still going to like me because why? I'm just like them. And I used to think that this was a really good trait. It is a good trait, but it's not a good trait because behind all that, I lost myself, right? So I became my own worst enemy. I would always talk badly about myself to myself. The things that I would say to myself, I would never say to another human. I would never say. And I was always comparing myself to other people who had more than I did, whether it's a better car, whether it's better clothes, whether it's a better job, whether it's more money, right? And you know, comparison's the thief of joy. So that again led to me being super unhappy. And, you know, I hate to be judged. And I think most 11s feel the same way. And that's because we've been judged so much, especially by our own families. That's when it starts. Being told that, you know, be quiet over there because I don't know what's going on with you, but stop because you're making us feel uncomfortable. So what do? You stop being you, basically, so other people can feel okay about themselves. That is so wrong. But when you're young and they're your family, what are you going to do? Right? So you kind of learn how to survive in the world, not being yourself. But what you don't know or you experience is that you shutting yourself off and down means that it's so painful for us. Because when you do that, you're not being you, right? You're being someone else just to fit in. And that sucks. So when you do that, you're not using your gifts and you're not fulfilling your potential and all that stuff. But moving around a lot and always being the new kid and then having everything finally go well and then ripped apart, start over again, that translated into me doing that to myself professionally for decades. Everything would be going great. Has this ever happened to anybody? Everything's going great. You know, you're making good money. You like your job. And all of a sudden, you start sabotaging yourself. You start maybe not doing as well in your work as you were a year ago. And it's all because I knew in my mind, the way that my pattern was that I was going to be moved, right? And it was going to be painful. I have to start all over again. So why not do it? I might as well do it to myself before you do it to me. I'll hurt myself first before I let you hurt me. It's crazy how your mind works. And this is all unconscious. I didn't know I was doing it, right? So most 11s struggle with not fitting in. Most 11s struggle with overthinking. Most 11s are very good at getting under the covers. We want to see the real person, not this fake exterior stuff, right? So that leads to trust issues. You know, we're really deep people, but we get to the point where it's like, I don't really trust anybody. So you keep your circle really, really small. So I lived behind the mask and, you know, it created an edge in me, right? So all the love and light stuff is awesome, but there's definitely an edge in me, but I needed that edge to survive. And what did help me was my faith in God, my hope in the good in humans and animals, and the animals helped me. And that was the only place that I felt like I was accepted, no matter what, no matter what I look like, you know, no matter if I was too thin, too fat, too tall, too whatever, the animals always loved me. So I always gravitated towards them over humans because they accepted me and they never like gave me any flack back. I mean, they just always loved me. So I realized I was an animal communicator, speaking to animals since I was five, and then started working with it professionally for over, I don't know, 6, 7 years now, right? It's one of the other things that I do. And it's a real honor to do. Learning what my gifts were and learning to work with them and lean into them is a form of self-acceptance, because I kept my gifts at bay for so long. And then so finally, when I started to use them, it was like the floodgates opened. And it was awesome. And I remember asking, I went to an event and there was an animal communicator there. And I asked her, like, how does this work? And she's like, I really don't know. It's hard to explain, but you're on their energy wave. And she's like, you can do it. And I'm like, I think I can do it. She's like, of course you can do it. You've been doing it, but not professionally. So I had to learn like how to do that. I had to learn. I always had my intuition. I always had feedback from the realms. I always had all that stuff, but I didn't know how to translate that into something that would actually work for me in my life. Instead of taking those gifts and putting them in the closet or sweeping them under the rug, I actually took ownership of them, was like, these are my gifts. I'm going to figure them out. I'm going to get help for it. And that's what I did. I went to my own spiritual coach. Every coach needs a coach. Everybody needs a coach or someone that can help them, because nobody can see all their own stuff. Even my shaman, she couldn't see all her own stuff. It's just the way it is with humans. So I just started leaning into like who I really am. Who are you? Why are you here? Why did you sign up to be here right now at this time in this day in 2023 right now when I'm recording this? And I truly believe, for me, this was my, what happened to me. I wonder if it happened to you. I was really targeted by the dark ones, I call them, when I was young, because I believe that they knew that I had gifts and that my, what I want to do is global, not local, right? Most 11s, that's what we're here for. So I were a master number, reincarnated many times. It's the process of us remembering, waking up is what it is. And you agreed to this time because we knew that darkness was coming and that we were the ones that would have to shine the light. So even in the darkest of darks, you know, one little light pierces through it, right? That's what we're here for, to help all the normies who are just starting. Give them a leg up. Shine your light to help others. So that's why I believe that I'm here, and you probably as well. How would my life have changed? You know, because I didn't work with numerology in the very beginning, everything, I mean, I've only been doing this for professionally 6, 7 years. So really, I didn't have the numerology in the beginning because I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't know anything really about it. I knew what it was, but I didn't go after it. You know what I'm saying? What I wanted to ask you is, you know, I've had a lot of life lessons and I've learned how to swerve and maneuver. And what I can tell you is that you're gifted. And on top of all that, a lot of us don't feel as though we belong here. And that's because you don't. You don't. You're like part angel. You don't belong here. But we're here. And we're here to make a difference for others. And what I'm exceptionally good at is never giving up, number one. And number two is taking my pain and turning into fuel. Right? Because a lot of times what 11s do, and I still do this, I have to fight against it, is we overthink. So if a problem comes up, we overthink. And then we think that we're doing something, like taking an action step, but we're not. We're just thinking about it. And I've talked about this before, and then a day goes by, and then a couple of weeks, and before you know it, years have gone by, and you're still unhappy. You're still working somewhere that you don't like, or you still want to get your business going, or you're in your business, but something needs to change, whatever it is. But we overthink too much. And the way around that is you have to start taking action. Yeah, think about it, but don't think about it for 6 months. Sometimes the only way to figure something out is just to take action. But taking the action, an aligned action, is you have to believe in your heart and your mind that you're good enough to take that action. That's where the rub comes that people don't talk about. It's like, oh, just take the action. But for people like us, we have to be all in, because we're usually all in or all out. And if you don't feel good enough about yourself, you won't take the action. And then that's what stops you. And then you lose time. Then you have trust issues. It's kind of a loop, right? To get out of that, you need to take your pain, your rejection, the times when people didn't understand you, the times when people made fun of you, the times when people hurt your feelings badly, and turn it around and be like, I'm going to take this and be better, right? Instead of wallowing in it and feeling the victim, which is very easy for us to do. So if you have a setback, take the day, but really have to work and push against that being longer in life. You know, it's kind of like the greatest lessons are sometimes the most painful. And in my life, some of the hardest lessons have been because I've been misunderstood, but it's because of the actions I've taken. For example, parties. I love to have parties. I love to be at parties. I am social. I do need a lot of alone time, as you guys do. But parties are hard for me. Being with a lot of people is hard for me because I feel all their stuff. And then I gotta go. I can't handle it. It's overload for me. And if I'm not protecting myself, if I haven't got enough sleep, if I haven't eaten right, I'm like, I gotta go. And then people look at you and they get mad at you. Like, what, my party's not, you're too good for me? Or I'm like, no. Literally, sometimes I have to say, I'm just not feeling good. Just because it's got nothing to do with them, but they wouldn't understand if I told them because they're not awake yet. Or they're just beginning. So I can't go in and be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling everybody's energies. They'll be like, what? I don't even know what that is. So you've got to make sure also that you choose your words carefully and know who you're talking to, know your audience. And then the ones that you know that are elevated, that you can talk to, those are the ones that you share things with. Because if you share things with the normies, they won't get it. And they'll either be like, that's stupid, or you're stupid, or whatever. And you'll be like, right? I'll tell you one quick story that will help you guys. So you might have heard this before. At the barn where I'm at, there's like 30 horses. And the owner's daughter had purchased a new horse, a baby. And it was a big prize pony horse, big bucks. And one day I was walking by. So you've got a picture. If I talk to animals, I'm walking by and there's all these horses inside. And then they'll be like, hey, Julie, what's going on? Hey, Cooley, what's up? Hey, what are you doing? Can you come talk to me? I gotta tell you something. That's what I hear. So this one day, I wanted to go over and say hi to the baby. And I was just getting to know the baby, basically just saying, hello, how are you? What's happening? And the owner's mother came around the corner. I don't know what she thought, but whatever she thought that I was hurting the horse or something. And she was like, oh, hell no. Oh, no, 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 ma'am. Oh, no. You get away from that horse right now. And I was like, what? And she's like, you get away from that horse right now. Don't talk to that horse. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're not giving the horse treats, are you? You can't do that. What are you doing? And I was so hurt because she was making it like I was going to do something bad to the horse. And I was like, I was just saying hi. And she's like, I don't care what you were doing. And I'm like, I'm a communicator. I can talk to this horse. She's like, I don't care. I don't care. Never, never, never talk to this horse again. I don't know what you're doing. I don't like it. And I was like, I stepped back and I was like, I'll never talk to this horse again. And I turned. Now she thought I was mad because that's the way I come across when I'm trying to hold it together. Because I'm ready to cry, but I won't cry in front of her. I won't give her that satisfaction. I left. I cried all the way home. I was really upset about it. And I go to the barn every day, and she's there every day. And from then on, it was like a month. I wouldn't talk to her. I wouldn't look at her. I got really angry. And a month went by, and then she came up to me. Actually, let me go back. The next day or 2 days later, I was told, God told me, you have to go to her and tell her what you are and explain it to her. She doesn't understand. And I was like, why the hell should I do that? And he's like, okay. I did. And I went up to her and I said, you know, I am an animal communicator. I don't know if you know what that means, but this is what I do. And I wasn't trying to hurt the horse. I was just saying hi. She's like, uh-huh. I'm like, girl, I'm trying to like lower myself and open myself up to explain this to you. And she gave me this like, whatever. And I was like, all right. Then I was like, I'm done. I did what you asked me to, God. I'm done. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. That's how I get. Like a month and a half later, she pulled me aside and she's like, I really want to apologize to you. And I was like, uh-huh. You know how we can get stubborn, digging our heels in. And she's like, yeah, I didn't understand. And I'm really sorry. And I hope we can get past this. And I was like, okay, take some time, but okay. Now the old me would have been like, yeah, I will forgive you, but I won't forget. But thankfully I've evolved enough and now we're friends again. Everything's fine. But it was because somebody saw me do something that they didn't know what I was doing. So they naturally went to something bad when that's the farthest thing from what the picture was. But I'll tell you the good news. The reason I'm telling you this story is you're probably like, why the hell is she telling me this? Is that could have defined me. I could have shut down, not spoken to animals at all, right? But one, I'm not going to let anybody take my gifts or stop me from expressing my gifts ever again, ever. And two, it was her ignorance, not mine. So you just have to remember that. What she did that day was she gave me a gift. You know what that was? I always was so concerned about what everybody else would think of me. And she gave me the gift of being like, F it. I don't care. I don't have to defend myself. It's not my job to convince you I can do what I can do. I don't care. And you're not my person. You'll never hire me. You'll never, because you're just not my person. So she gave me a huge gift, but it came through pain. And that's usually always the case. So if you're going through something right now, which I know a lot of you are, especially the person that emailed me to do this video, keep going. You got to know in your heart and your mind, your soul, you're gifted, you're badass, and you can do anything. And only you can make yourself feel bad about something, right? So that's a little bit about me. I hope that this helped you guys. You are different, and that's fantastic. Start talking to yourself like the amazing being that you are. And just know that you're not the only one. Help is available all the time. If you need me for, you know, sessions, let me know. If you need me to help you be unbreakable, consider the Brave Academy. I love you guys. I think you're amazing. Thanks for watching. This might have been a little long, but I hope it helped you. And know that, you know, we all have good days and tough days, but I never give in. There's something in me that's like, I may be down on my knees today, but tomorrow I'll be up. And I can't give up on myself. I can't. Besides, you have so much support in the realms. You got to keep going. All right, guys. Thanks for everything. I love you guys. Let me know if this helped you in any way, shape, or form. Hope wasn't boring or anything. I'll talk to you soon.